Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, chances are, when you were a kid, your parents told you to clean your room. And chances are, when your parents told you to clean your room, you didn't really want to do it. And since you didn't want to clean your room, you tried your best to get around doing what your parents told you to do. Maybe you cleaned some of your room. Picked up the toys, you picked up the clothes, made your bed. But you didn't dust, you didn't vacuum, you didn't sweep the floor. Maybe instead of cleaning your room, you just moved the mess into a different area. Shoving the clothes in the closet, shoving the toys underneath the bed, and moving all that dust underneath the rug. Or maybe when you got older, you tried to challenge your parents and argued with them that your room really wasn't that messy. Chances are, if you have done all of these things, you know how well they work. They don't. No matter what you say, your parents are going to make you clean your room, and they're going to check to see if you really cleaned your room or not. And as children, why do we do this? It's because we don't want to clean our room. We're content with it being messy. But this morning, we do not focus on physical cleanness. Instead, we focus on spiritual cleanness. How clean are we? We may think that who we are and everything that we do is always clean. But as Jesus rebukes the Pharisees this morning, he tells us to listen to him and to understand what he is telling us. And so as we focus on this question, how clean are we? Let us listen to what Jesus has to say. Now in this account before us, we heard about how the Pharisees and the teachers of law traveled from Jerusalem to go see Jesus. And at first glance, nothing really sticks out to us when we hear those words. But at this time, Jesus was nowhere near Jerusalem. He's all the way up in Galilee. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law traveled over 100 miles to see Jesus. But they didn't travel that distance to talk to Jesus about teachings in the Bible. They didn't travel that distance to learn from Jesus. Instead, notice what they argued about with Jesus. After they saw the disciples eat their food with unclean hands, which means they didn't wash their hands, they went up to Jesus and said, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their foods with unclean hands?" They were upset at Jesus because he didn't make the disciples follow the same traditions that the people have been following for quite some time. And now right here at this moment, I want us to talk about traditions. Are traditions good or bad? In a lot of ways, traditions are good. They promote order. In fact, the way that we worship is a tradition. God hasn't demanded us to worship in the way that we do. But you can see how beneficial it is, the way we worship. Let me ask you, before you came to worship, what did you expect would happen? You expected me to lead you in worship. You expected that there would be hymns, readings from Scripture, and a couple of prayers. And knowing that it was the first Sunday of the month, you probably knew that we would be having Holy Communion this morning. But now let's suppose we didn't follow that traditional way of worship. We got rid of it. So let's suppose one Sunday I led you in worship, the next Sunday was someone else, and then the next Sunday was someone else. Let's suppose one Sunday there were no hymns, the next Sunday was full of hymns and readings from Scripture, and then the next Sunday was an hour-long sermon. I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, but you can imagine the confusion you would have of not knowing how we would worship from one Sunday to the next. Traditions are good. They provide order. So the tradition of the Pharisees to wash their hands before eating their food was not wrong in and of itself. The problem is that they elevated their traditions to the same level and even above what God had commanded. In the eyes of the people, they viewed following these traditions as being greater than following the commands of God. And it is for this reason that Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. And this would have been shocking to the people who heard this, because in their minds, they viewed the Pharisees as being the most holy of people. They thought if anyone could please God by their life, it would have been the Pharisees. But Jesus did not look at their actions. Instead, he looked at their hearts. For even though they worshiped and praised God with their lips and with their actions, their hearts were far from God. They were only concerned about themselves. So how clean were the Pharisees? They were not clean at all. But how clean are we? Do we ever act like hypocrites? Do we ever honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him? Let me ask you, why did you come to worship this morning? Did you come to learn more about God's Word for your life? Or has coming to church become a tradition that since it's Sunday, this is just what you do? Did you come here to worship because you didn't want people talking about why you weren't here? Children, are you here to learn more about God's Word? Or are you only here because your parents made you? But maybe you have the right intentions for being here in worship. But are your hearts always focused on God during worship? Do you rejoice in singing psalms and hymns to God? Or do you only follow along in the hymnal because you don't want people judging you? When you come up for communion, are you coming up as a repentant sinner who desires God's forgiveness? Or is coming up to communion just another tradition that you do without examining yourselves? And during the sermon, do you pay attention? Or has the sermon become nothing more than a time for you to talk and joke with everyone sitting in your pew? How clean are we? When it comes to worship, we are not always clean because none of us, myself included, we have not always been focused on God when we worship Him. And this is just one example of how unclean we can be. Jesus goes on to explain just how unclean we really are. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. The Pharisees were so concerned about washing their hands before they would eat their food because they were worried if they didn't do this, this would make them unclean before God. But Jesus turned the table on them and he said, rather, it is what comes out of a person that makes a person unclean. So how clean are we on the inside? Jesus said, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from inside and make a man unclean. Jesus makes it crystal clear that all of these evil things, all of these unclean things live in us. This is what we call original sin. We are all born with a sinful nature that is capable of sinning against God in any and every way. You can go ahead and relook at every sin that Jesus mentions here, and you can see that you have committed most of them. And even though you may not have committed murder or adultery to the very letter, you are still capable of doing it. We are all capable of doing it. We are rotten and unclean to the core. But even though Scripture makes that clear to us, we try to downplay it, don't we? Just like the child who only cleans up some of his room, we may clean up some of our acts of sin, but be content with others. Just like the child who tries to hide the mess of his room, we can try to hide our sins and make excuses for what we have done. Just like the child who argues with his parents that their room isn't really that unclean, we can argue that we are really not that bad as compared to others. But God has not told you to clean up some of your act. God has not told you to do your best to hide your sins. God has not told you to be better than others. God demands perfection. He demands not to have a single stain of sin on us. But we haven't done that. How clean are we? There isn't a speck of cleanness to us. We are filthy with sin from head to toe. And God does not allow anyone who is unclean to enter into heaven. So how do we become clean? How do we wash away every stain of sin from us? We can't. But God can. And He has. He has made you clean through Christ and through His Word. For when He sent Jesus Christ, He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, which means Christ did not have a sinful nature. Everything that was in Him was clean, and everything that came out of Jesus was clean. And when Christ died, the blood of Jesus cleansed the sin of the entire world. But now how does this become ours? It becomes ours through the Word. James told us this morning, God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. God's word created life in you. For most of you, that happened at baptism when God's word was connected with the water. And James tells us that since God gave us birth, we are now first fruits of God. What does it mean to be first fruits of God? Just like how the first fruits in the Old Testament were set aside, dedicated, and belonged to God, You too are dedicated to God, and you belong to Him. So now when God looks at you, He does not see your uncleanness. Rather, He sees the cleanness of Christ who lives in you. But God has also made us clean in another way. For when God's Word created faith in us, He created the new man that lives in us. And this new man has been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man loves to obey God's commands, and it is empowered and motivated to do this through God's Word. So now as Christians, we no longer view God's commands as a burden, but rather as opportunities that we gladly follow. And now everything that comes out of us through faith is clean. So how clean are we? Without Christ and without His Word, we are not clean. Everything that is in us is evil. Everything that comes out of us is evil. But because of Christ and His Word, we are now clean. God has cleaned us by washing us with the blood of Christ. God has cleaned us by creating new life through His Word. And one day God will forever clean us. For in heaven He will give us pure, white, clean robes of righteousness. And so in heaven we will forever honor God with our lips, and our hearts will always be near to Him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.